All right, here we go. Are we ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. And Lord, we purpose to have ears that are open, hearts that are ready to receive your word, your truth, so that our lives will be changed and transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. You know, I have something I was going to talk about today. I believe the Lord is helping us and he's teaching us. And, you know, sometimes it's always, well, maybe in the past, you know, as a kid, you always wanted something sweet, right? You know, I want something sweet, I want this. So now I tell my kids, hey, I got candy. They, yay, it just looks like broccoli. It tastes like broccoli, but it's really candy. But sometimes eating vegetables is better for you than just sweet stuff, right?
That's right.
And so maybe today we're going to eat some vegetables.
Oh.
Just keep a happy face and don't get angry or anything like that, right? You know, sometimes if I hear something that challenges me or that corrects me, the natural tendency is people want to run from it, right? Yeah. Rather than sit there and go, wait a minute, I need to make this change because I want a change in my life. And if I hear his God's word, I can make that change, then the thing I'm wanting in life, I'll get. But I got to make the change or the adjustment. I got to receive his correction. I got to receive from him so I can make that change so I can get where I want to go. You know, I'm thinking of the story of the rich young ruler. Remember that guy? He came to Jesus. He followed his word. He had all this wealth. And Jesus said, okay, you only lack one thing. You would think, one thing. I only got to do one thing? One. You think that's easy. And yet, when Jesus told him what he had to do, it says he went away very sorrowful. You know, Jesus said, sell what you have, give to the poor. He didn't say give everything to the poor. But, you know, if you're going to follow someone, you can't bring your U-Haul, right? And he's got all this stuff. And Jesus says, sell what you have, give to the poor, give some to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, right? And he went away sorrowful because it said that he had great wealth. But he was a rich young ruler. How did he get rich? He was following the Lord, right? So then the only thing he had to make that adjustment was, okay, now you got all this stuff. You know, I got it to you once. I can get it to you again. But I want you to have me in your heart more than the stuff in your heart. That's all. And yet he couldn't make that transition at that time. Hopefully later, you know, he thought about it and said, hey, I can do this. But he didn't at that time. So it's interesting because sometimes the Lord will just deal with us about doing one thing. Even though you might need 10 things, he's only going to tell you one thing at a time.
That's good.
Right? Because he doesn't want to overwhelm you. You know, like, sometimes I might get overwhelmed when my wife gives me a to-do list. I'm like, this is a long list. I just look at it. Is getting any of it done? No, not yet. I'm just contemplating. I'm looking, right? There's a lot here. Just give me one thing. All right, take out the garbage. I can do that. Now what's the next thing? You understand? Sometimes the Lord gives us one thing to do. We have to make progress in that one area before he can get us in other areas, right? So today we're going to continue discussing the importance of partnership.
Amen.
And that it's a two-way relationship, right?
Yes.
Both parts have a part. It's a give-and-take type of interaction.
Yeah.
Specifically, we're going to look at the relationship between the Lord and our giving to him as an act of obedience. Amen? As we look at this, let's look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Now I call this is the dividing line in the Bible. You say, what do you mean dividing line? Well, this is, if you want to know if it's God or if it's the enemy, this is all you got to look at right here. This will give you the answer. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief comes, but to kill, comes, the only reason he comes, the thief comes not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Yeah.
He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, here's a thought, and you got to really get this, because I know it's not a pleasant thought, but it's a good thought. Jesus said the only reason the thief comes is to kill, steal, and destroy, or steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. So you have this being, this fallen angel, that the only reason he lives is to harass you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
When you go to sleep at night, he's planning on what he can do to you. Mm-hmm. When you wake up, he's after you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, come on, give me something good. I don't want to hear he's always after me. I got people after me. I don't need him after me too. Right? But he only lives to steal, kill, and destroy from you.
Wow.
And most of us, I would bet, most of us go through our day without even giving him any real thought. You know, if something bad happens in our life, what do? God, why'd you do that? Why'd you allow that? Like God is in control of everything. Even though through Scripture we see he clearly is not.
Yeah.
He is not in control of everything. He didn't wipe out the panhandle in Florida.
Right.
If he did, then when you get to heaven, you're going to have some really big wipeouts.
Yeah.
If you think that's him.
Yeah.
He is not in. He is not in control. You have an enemy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And one of his best operations is stealth mode.
Yep.
Yeah.
He wants you to think that he's not real. He don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants to go stealthy on you.
Yeah.
Remember back, like when you're in school, somebody hits you in the head. And you look behind you, and they're pointing at the other guy, but it was really the guy who was pointing. So you're looking at him, and he's like, what? I didn't do anything. And really, the enemy, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you, and then he points at God.
Mm.
It was God.
Wow.
And you're like, God, that's not right. It's not fair. Why? Because he's trying to lay in stealth. He's trying to just, you know, be undercover. If you don't know about him, you can't resist him. If you think it's God, then you're going to pay him no attention. And he's great at it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what he's done. He's been doing this forever.
Mm.
He's really perfected this.
Right.
And he really doesn't change. But the only reason he comes is because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
That's it. So in your life, if something is stealing, killing, and destroying, it's not God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You got to identify that.
Right.
You say, okay, it's not God, it's the enemy. Now the next thing you need to know is, where did I let him in? Right? Where did I let him in? Because Jesus said, I am come, that the only reason he comes is that you and I might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. So, it would do us well, does me well, if I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking, okay, I know I have an enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy me today. It doesn't make me stress out. It just makes me more aware of my day, of what's going on in my day. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So how does the enemy kill, steal, and destroy? Well, we could say he gets access into our life through different avenues. The biggest one, you could just use the word sin. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with Adam and Eve. You know, Adam had control over the garden. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And the devil stole it through deception, through sin, through stealth. He didn't come up and say, hey, look, if you give me the earth, your life's going to be miserable and you're going to regret it forever. He didn't do that. He came in the back door or through the window. And this is where Jesus even said, I am the good shepherd. I come through the gate.
Yeah.
The thief doesn't use the gate. He doesn't use the door. He tries to come in some other way where you won't recognize it or you don't see it. So you have to be aware that there is a thief. You know, when the Bible says, if you knew what hour the thief was coming to your house, what would you do? Would you be sleeping or would you be ready?
Would you be ready?
With your double barrel shotgun, your assault rifle, whatever. And the enemy might look in, the thief might look in and go, oh, sorry, wrong house. You're just sitting there with your guns pointed at him. You would be sleeping.
Yeah.
Right? So, in the same way, when we recognize this, if something's happening in our life that's stealing, killing, and destroying, somewhere, we open the door.
Yes.
We open the door for the enemy to come in, right? We have to take that responsibility because it's not God. God doesn't steal, kill, or destroy from you.
That's right.
Right? So this is important because we have to see that we have a part to play.
Mm.
Maybe we got into fear. Maybe we were stressing out. Maybe we were doing this or we were doing that or we were anxious. You know, whatever we were doing, we have to recognize, okay, I need to stop that,
mm-hmm.
close that door, and then start trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
The more word, why do we read our chapter a day? Because we're trying to get life and life more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
You look through Proverbs and it gives you, that's the book we're in. It gives you insight on how to live. And it also tells you what not to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know that, that just enables the enemy to keep in stealth mode in your life. Right? So let's look at, we've talked about this before, but I think if we take it from another angle, it will help us. If we look at this specifically talking about areas of obedience or disobedience, look at Malachi, we're going to look at tithes and offerings, right? And the reason we talk about money is because this is one area the devil can get in and cause you problems.
Yeah.
Anybody ever have a money problem? Or was it a self-control problem? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's like... So, look at this. Now, I want us just to change the way we think, right? This is not for people to feel guilty, but it is, if we have to make adjustments, let's make adjustments, right? Let's change it up. Because why? If we can close the door to the enemy, then if we close that door, then he won't be stealing, killing, and destroying from us. Right? It'll go better. So, start with verse 8. Will a man rob God? Now, who's the thief? Who's the biggest thief?
The devil.
It's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you're talking about robbing someone, who are you acting like? The devil. Right? Because that's what he did. And that's all he does. So he says, but you've robbed me. But we say, what have we or how have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. And then he says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough for you to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Remember, he's the destroyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember King Midas, there was a thing where everything he touches turns to gold? Where everything the devil touches gets destroyed.
Mm.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
That's his name. And one of his names, he's the adversary. He's the one who is against you. He is the prosecutor. He is not your friend, right? He's the liar of all liars, the deceiver of all deceivers, the thief of all thieves. This is what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you should be nice to him and don't talk so bad about him. Well, this is what he does.
Yeah.
And he don't feel bad about it.
That's right.
And he'll just keep taking and stealing from him. He don't care what you need. He is a destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Bible is telling you here is, hey, I'm going to help put in a system so that legally, on a spiritual ground, you can close the door to his activities in your life. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
So here's what he says. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine or your fruitfulness, your gardens, cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So here he's telling you, if you operate in this tithes and offerings, right, to God, he will open up the windows of heaven.
Amen.
That means something that wasn't available to you before now becomes available to you.
That's good.
Right? Now, we're talking about partnership. So when you give to God what he says, now this isn't, when you look at Malachi and Joe Joe T. in the back has been doing a great job.
Yes.
Teaching about it.
Yeah.
But when you give to God, this is your part. Now, his part is, I'm going to protect you. Yes. You know, if you and I, we have to pay, I guess you have a car, it's illegal not to have insurance. So you have to pay this insurance premium every month or whatever, every quarter, every year. I don't like having to pay my insurance premium. I think, you know, I called my insurance company. I said, you know, why is my coverage so high? And they said, well, because you weren't covered, you let your coverage lapse. I said, I didn't have a car, I was overseas. What do you want me to do? Well, you have to keep coverage on something. I'm like, I don't have anything to cover. Okay, fine. After a year, the rates will go down. A year later, they go, well, you drive more miles than what? What are you talking about? I don't drive that much. I drive on country roads. What does it matter how many miles I drive? And then it's like, well, increases went across the board because of calamities. It didn't happen to me. I didn't claim anything. I go through these discussions with them. And then, you know, they go, pay by this date. Well, I don't want to pay you by that date. Well, we gave you a grace period. I said, well, if something happened to my car, if I don't pay, you're going to cancel my insurance. Right. So why don't I let it cancel, and then I won't pay the late? You know, I'm kind of going through all these things with them. And the bottom line is, okay, but if something happens, nothing still has happened to my car, which is fine. But thank God, I'm a giver. Praise the Lord. But I'm paying all this money out, but I haven't got any benefit back yet.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. There's something, now don't go run into my car so I can tell my insurance company, somebody ran into my car, and then I hear the words, well, that's not covered, right? Or like the term, I had, what was it called? Uninsured motorist coverage. And you have whatever else coverage, and then something had happened, and they go, well, the policeman goes, it was nobody's fault. I go, well, he hit me from behind. And they go, well, the report was it was nobody's fault, so you're not covered. I'm like, they go, because I go, what about uninsured? He goes, well, it didn't say he was uninsured. You know, I'm playing all these word games with the insurance company, but I'm still paying them, because legally, I have to have insurance on my car, right?
Right.
Doesn't matter, I like it or I don't like it. I have to have insurance on my car. So in the kingdom of God, what he's doing is, as you give, you're not paying a bill. You know, like when you, he says, bring all the tithes out, don't rob me, right? Why? Because he's saying it belongs to him. Just like if I had to pay taxes, the IRS says what? It belongs to them. Or if we had a king named Caesar. Jesus said what? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. That means it's not all God's, it's not all Caesar's, and it's not all yours. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah. That's good.
So in this case, though, he said, if you do that, I will rebuke the devourer. I'm going to close him down. I'm going to shut him down because you're giving to me. I'm going to put a hedge of protection around you. And, you know, we live in a crazy, people, demon-filled world.
Yeah.
I think it would be good to have some protection.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we have different kinds of insurance. You have mortgage insurance, life insurance, auto insurance, overdraft insurance. You've got this insurance. You accept Jesus as a fire, you know, fire insurance, eternal fire insurance. It's like, Jesus, can you save me because I don't want to go to hell? Okay, then after you get that part done... But now he says, look, I want you to look at your money in a different way, right? And the way he looks at it, I mean, I just looked up some things about money, because God says a lot about money, yet money is not that important to him in the sense that he needs it, but it's a reflection of where our values and our trust lie with him in our relationship.
Good.
Right? You know, I like giving my girls Barbie dolls. But if they ever get in the way between me and the girls, they go in the trash. And you get no more Barbie dolls. I'll tell you what happened. Please forgive me. I'll just tell you. I'm human. Here's what happened. One time we got in this Barbie house. My wife got him. It was a nice house. And I told him. And one thing I really don't like is Play-Doh. Because they mix it, it sticks, it gets in the carpet, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? It's just, I don't know, I pray for that person who invented that Play-Doh. But, so I said, look, girls, whatever you do, you can play this Barbie house, but no Play-Doh in your room. None. I don't want no Play-Doh. So I went in there one day, and they were making Play-Doh pies. I was angry. It was all over the dollhouse, it was in the carpet, it was wet. I was like, what are you doing? And they had a broken part of the dollhouse. So I said, what is going on? We just told you to keep it. I'm upset. So I said, look, I'm going to get rid of this dollhouse. It's going bye-bye right now. No! Yes. I'll repent later. I'll have to buy another one or something. But right now, this one's gone. You know, but you know what the problem, it was solved. There's never been any more Play-Doh in the room.
No.
No more Play-Doh.
No more. Not ever.
Right? Which, you know, maybe I overreacted, but we got the point across.
Yeah.
And in a sense, they know don't bring Play-Doh in the room. Only bad things happen when Play-Doh gets in the room, right? And in the same sense, the enemy is always, let me tell you how he works. He wants to tell you, you don't need to tithe, or you shouldn't give, you should cut back, God understands, all these types of things. But when he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, he also will tell you, you know, you can't really believe God because you haven't been tithing. You can't have confidence toward God because you know you've been holding out on him. You know that. And you haven't put the two together yet, that he's the one that told you not to. So what? So you could open the door or the open the window of just the opposite. Not a blessing that God wants to open, but of curse, because you're in disobedience, right?
Yes.
Over something as small, in God's eyes, as money. You know, we put so much value on money because you say, how do you live? Well, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. That money is not really the problem. Loving money is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because loving money, the Bible says what? It's the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. So if you want to unlove money, what would you do? You would give. You would give to God.
Yeah.
You would honor him. Now this goes back to what? Partnership. How am I partnering with God? First and foremost, because in God's eyes, money, he says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. He wants your heart.
Yes.
Now, he didn't just talk about tithes, but he also talked about what? Offerings.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to offer him? And an offering isn't something that he has to accept.
Mm.
Do you ever think about that?
Yeah.
So you make him an offering? Like someone makes you an offer on something you're selling? You're not obligated to accept their offer or whatever they're offering, are you? No, you might say, don't think so. You look at money, I think of two things. One, Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Cain kills his brother Abel over an offering. God accepted Abel's because he did it in faith. He gave him the best. Cain just gave him God whatever. And then he got mad to God because God rejected his offering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he goes and takes it out on his brother. You know, here's Cain. Here's Abel. Oh, man, God is so good. Look at he blessed me. Yeah, I get you. Hey, you know, because Cain was the warrior brother, the hunter. Abel's like the little gardener guy. God's really blessing my crops. How about you, Cain? Did you get anything lately? He's so mad at God for rejecting his offering. The only one he can take it out on is Abel, his brother. So he kills him.
Wow.
Over what? Money.
Yeah,
over
yeah.
an offering. Mm-hmm. Then we see it again in Acts. Remember Ananias and Sapphira?
Yeah.
People bring their offerings to God. It's a reflection of their love and their commitment to him. And they come in and they lie about what they gave. Now, this is a big deal. I mean, to God it's a big deal, because it's not just about how much they're giving, it's about their heart. Mm-hmm. Why would you lie about how much you gave? Because you're trying to impress someone. Mm-hmm. Well, and who's the father of lies? Mm-hmm. The devil.
Right.
So instead of making this something holy, you make it something unholy by lying about it. Amen? Mm-hmm. So but we see a couple things. Money, the Bible talks about, represents the heart or our treasure. Mm-hmm. Also can be used as a bribe to get someone to do something wrong. They offer money or bribes. We see that with Judas. We see that with when Peter was preaching, the sorcerer Simon wanted to say, hey, I'll give you some money if you give me the Holy Ghost. How about that deal? Can you give me that ability to lay hands on people so they can speak in tongues? Because I can make a lot of money on that. I could charge people to get filled with, sounds like some people today, right? Moving on. We see that money can be used in a good way or a bad way. It's neutral. You can use it for the church, or you could use it for a cartel. Mm-hmm. Run weapons and drugs, or send missionaries and win souls.
Yes.
So, it's a neutral thing. But how we use and what we give towards represents what? Our heart. So, he's talking about, are we faithful in that? As I mentioned in Matthew 22, when they tempted Jesus, they said, he said, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus understood, he perceived their wickedness, and he said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the money. And they brought him a penny, and he said, whose face is on it? They said, Caesar. And he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and then give to God what is God's. The implication here is what? There is something that belongs to God. And if you give what belongs to God to God, he said what? He would stop the devourer from devouring.
That's good.
You.
Yeah.
So whose control would it be in?
Yeah.
Yours.
Right.
Right? Or mine. It's right. Not up to external. It's not up to anyone else. But this is between what? You and God. And this is great because this is something you can control. I mean, it'd be different if I could control it. But he never tells us to give something or to do something, what? That we have no control over. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's about our heart. So look at Luke chapter 6. Now I'm going to read, this is Luke 6, verse 9 to 13. I'm going to read out of the Message version. Okay, so here's how the Message reads. He goes, here's a surprise. The master praised the crooked manager. And why? Because he knew how to look after himself. Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right, using every adversity to stimulate you to create survival, or to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials, so you'll live, really live, and not complacently just get by on good behavior. So Jesus went on and said this, if you are honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. If you are a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. If you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the big one?
Wow.
No worker can serve two bosses. He'll either hate the one, hate the first, and love the second. Or he'll adore the first and despise the second. You can't serve both God and the bank. The reference here is regarding how we handle money in our lives. Are we faithful? Yield ourselves to the Lord or to him? Or are we just going to insist on our own rights and our own wants? Now, interestingly here, he says, hey, that guy was really smart. He didn't say he was righteous. You know, is it hard or easy to get rid of other people's money? Easy. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll buy it. Give me your money. I'll buy it. Give me your money. Right? It's easier to spend other people's money than your own.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not as cautious. This guy, he was working for his boss, but he was stealing. He was crooked. And he called the people who owed his boss money, and he said, "Hey, I'll make a deal with you. I'll cut this down. I'll lower the price. You don't owe as much." Why? He's trying to make friends, so when he loses his job, he has a place to go. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is saying, now, if you look at this in the area of money, the righteous, if you're faithful in small things, he will make you rule over what? Many things, or big things.
Yeah.
Idea here is handling money is really a small thing. Mm-hmm. It's the smallest of things in his eyes. Right? Because this is a natural thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a spiritual thing. It's a natural, meaning money itself is a spiritual thing in your heart, but it's just a natural thing that you deal with every day. Mm-hmm. Right? So, he says, but if you can handle the money, then you'll get promoted to handle what? Bigger things. Mm-hmm. You know, like more stuff. Or he'll get you to give bigger amounts. Or your bank account can increase. He can increase you. Why? Because he can trust you with the little bit that you have. So this is really talking about what? Faithfulness. Mm-hmm. But I know. No, don't have to tell me. I know. Most believers, they say, "Are you a faithful believer?" "Oh, glory, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, you know it's me." No Christian ever walks around and goes, "I'm one of the unfaithful ones, let me tell you." don't trust me with that, because hey, you know, I'm very unfaithful. No one's going to say that, right? But if just you, not you and me, if I personally look and I say, "Lord, are there areas in my life where I haven't been faithful? Can you show me, please, sir? Because I want to become faithful." Why? I want to be entrusted with more. Not just more money, but more responsibility.
Amen.
More stuff or more ministry opportunities.
Yes. Right?
So, is there areas where we can be more faithful? Here's one. Look at this. This goes in line with what we're talking about. It's not too late to start being faithful. Right? It's not too late to start. You know, one thing I know when we talk about being faithful in a marriage relationship, people say, "Well, we want to avoid adultery because I want to be faithful to my spouse." Okay, that's great. That's one area. But if you're lying to your spouse, are you faithful? Mm-mm. Now, you don't go, "Well, I might as well just go all out and just go do it all wrong." No. But if you're lying, that's not being faithful.
Right.
Or if, you know, here's another one. I mean, because it's easy to lie. I'm telling you the truth. You know it's easy to lie. White lie. What is that? It's a white guy thing? I don't know. It's against the white guy. Is that what we're talking about? It's a white lie? Well, a white lie is when you tell it so you don't make someone feel bad. Or you try to minimize something. Well, aren't you glad Jesus didn't tell you a white lie?
Yes.
Like, "Oh, a little bit of sin will be okay." Why? Because the devil will tell you white lies. Like, "No one will ever know." Or, "It's okay. Trust me." The father of all liars is telling you to trust him.
Wow.
Right? Don't trust him. Look at this. James 4:7. It says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God." What does submit mean? I know that's a bad word these days. Nobody wants to talk about what it means. So, it means, I'll give you an analogy. It means to yield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm driving on the highway, and coming on 1604 and 10, they got these goofy yield signs. Some is you're already on the highway, you got to yield to people coming on. The other side of the loop is when you're coming on, you got to yield to the people already there, right? But you got this big triangle sign that says yield. Yield means you give right of way. What if I say, "I don't want to yield. I want to go now"? There's going to be an accident. There's going to be some pain. Someone could die, right?
Right.
So in life, driving on 1604 410, we practice yielding to others all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm believing by faith they're going to yield because they're supposed to. Right? You know what I'm saying? I'm just driving. Hope they yield because I ain't stopping. Because they got the yield sign. I hope they see that big blinking sign. You know, blink, blink, blink. Yield, yield, yield. That means to give the other person right away. Yeah. To submit what you want to them first. You yield yourself. What do you want? To submit. To come under the authority of the traffic that's already flowing. Because if you hit them and you don't yield, the policeman's going to say what? Did you yield? I'm like, I don't believe in yielding. I don't submit to anyone, not at home or on the road. That's just how I am. He's like, okay, well, your fault. Here's a ticket. Got insurance? I don't believe in insurance. You see, it can get bad, right? Could go bad. Here, look at James 4. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, which means you can. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Mm-hmm. He has to flee from you. How can you submit yourself to God? Well, one way is by giving him tithes and offerings.
Yeah.
Right? You submit. You know, it's not like, and I know, I understand, you know, we can say, I can't afford it. You don't understand. But if you think about it from this perspective, maybe that's why you can't afford something is because you're not doing what he told you to do.
That's good.
And if you did what he told you to do, maybe it would clear up that problem that you're having.
Yes.
Do you ever think about that? Yeah. I'm telling you, when the devil lies to you and says you can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say it this way. If you can't afford to do the right thing, then how much do you think the wrong thing is going to cost you?
Oof.
A lot more.
If you say, I can't afford to, I have to lie because I can't afford the truth, then how much do you think the lie is going to cost? Mm-hmm. A lot more. Get the calculator out, buddy, because this is going to be expensive, right?
Yes.
If you can't afford the truth, how much is the lie?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking that telling the truth and going God's way or doing the way God told you, you're going to come up behind. Well, somewhere someone's been whispering in your ear, your enemy, your adversary, he's not your friend, trying to get an open door into your life.
Yeah.
Why? So he can steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen. That's good. Yes.
So if I have all these open windows,
well,
what I need to do is start closing them one by one.
Yep.
Close that window.
Yep.
I'll become more faithful. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be more diligent to do what he told me to do. Yeah. Here, he says, therefore, submit to God, then you can resist the devil. You submitting to God is resisting the devil.
That's good.
Why would you, we can submit and resist all the time. We just get it backwards sometimes.
Yeah.
We resist God and we submit to the devil. Don't resist God.
No.
And submit to the devil so he can continue to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
He says, submit to God. And then resist the devil.
That's good.
Resist the idea that I'm not going to submit to God. Because I tell you what, we have so many testimonies of people who are like, especially in the area of money, they'll give to God, they'll believe God, and God will sustain them. They'll get miracles.
Yeah.
They'll get promotions.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of promotions, let me ask you this question. Since we're on the topic, right?
Yeah.
Does anybody know what the word tithe means?
Ten.
It means one-tenth. So if you made $1,000 a month, all you got to do is take off 10, and a tithe would be 100.
Yeah.
10%.
Yeah.
It means 10, right?
Yeah.
So when someone says, I'm tithing, I'm like, this is $5 for the month. You only made $50 a month? Well, that's my tithe and my offering. Okay. It's getting worse. Well, someone said, I can't afford it. I got this. I'm like, okay, but you're saying you can't afford it, but maybe you have to make adjustments to put God what?
First.
Then you can stop the thief from killing, stealing, and destroying
That's
in your
right.
life.
That's
right. And I'm telling you what, when you do that and something happens, You said, like, okay, I'll give you an example. I'm just, it's okay talking about this for a little bit, because this is how we get free.
Yeah.
This is how you increase. This is how you prosper.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter, when she was going to go to college, I'm thinking, this college, man, it's not like you can work your way through it anymore. And, you know, the enemy brings thoughts to me and says, hey, why don't you just start saving for her Christian college education? That's like a tithe. I'm like, no, it's not. I can't take God's money and put it toward her Christian college education. You see how you can start reasoning things in?
Yeah. Right?
So anyway, long story short, I had total confidence that the Lord was going to help and take care of it. Why? Because I think I give is given to me.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about other people in the sense, because I don't know what they're doing. I can't resist the devil for them. I can't submit to God for them. They got to.
Yeah.
Right? But I thank God because, you know, for one, we have very faithful youth leaders. Also, thank God for them.
Yes.
And they're always praying for her and helping her.
Yes.
You know, thank God, you know. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jamie Tony. So, but long story short, what happened was she got a scholarship, basically like a full ride for her college.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, God is honoring you, because she would tithe.
Yeah.
When she got money, she would tithe. I said, okay, don't round it up. Don't give me no change. Just round up. Don't give me no $4.17. Just go five. Just go big. Move it up. Right?
Move it up.
Move it up and get a little offering in there. You understand? But it's no, I'm telling you, and she will go, and I just tell her, you keep honoring God and keep whatever you have. When the Bible says the Lord will increase you, see, you got to understand, your ability to make money or get stuff comes from Him.
Amen.
Every good gift, every good thing comes from Him.
That's right.
Your talent, your ability, your reasoning skills, whatever it is, it's all His. It all comes from Him. And He gave it to you. And all He's asking you is to honor Him with 10% so He can protect you. Mm-hmm. Kind of like you're paying the mob money for protection on your business. But this is like a spiritual, heavenly mob, the angels, they'll protect you.
Yes, yes.
They got you.
Yeah.
And so He can do more with your 10% than you can do on your own.
That's right.
You know, He gives you 90% to deal, work with. 90. And He'll take care of you. And if you go, well, I have problems, that just tells me you got to even get on the ball even quicker.
Yeah.
And get Him involved.
Yes.
Right? Think about it.
Yes.
And He's not just talking about here and now. He's talking about who's going to entrust you with real riches.
Mm.
What if He wanted to give you a galaxy or a universe? Because there's trillions of those. And you wouldn't do anything for Him down here. You're going to be bummed out. You know, and I think too, everything has this entitlement mentality. You think heaven is like a spiritual communism type socialism thing where everybody has the same size mansion with four pillars that are white in the middle, and a white picket fence, two angels, not two gargoyles, you know, two angels both there. Everybody gets the same?
No.
No. What did He say? He goes, they will be like stars that shine, but in different degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But you control the degree that you shine. And it starts with being faithful in what He calls what? The least, which is money.
Yeah.
He's like, just trust me. I tell my kids all the time, trust me, would you trust me? They go, oh, but I want. Well, would you just trust me? I'm getting to that point, we're going through all something else, kids. Just work with me. Trust me. So here, He says, He can legally protect you when you submit to Him, then you can resist the devil.
That's good.
But you can't resist the devil when you're siding with the devil in disobedience.
Yeah.
Right? You can't resist him because you're on his team. He's the team captain. Right? So I'm supposed to submit ourselves to God. Do what he says. By faith, we trust him. And then we can resist the devil. And then God closes the enemy's access to your life and he opens up the windows of heaven to you, right?
Yeah.
So, again, we have to yield ourselves. Give God the right of way in our life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to yield to you, Lord. Yield.
Yeah.
Here's one. Ephesians 4. We're almost done. Verse 27. It says, it says, be angry, but don't sin.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever been angry?
Yeah.
And you sinned? You know you missed it? And you got angry?
Yeah.
You threw the chair? You did, you know, whatever you did, right? It says, be angry, don't sin. And then it says what? Neither give place to the devil. Now this is really interesting, an interesting idea here. Because he's telling you, you don't have to give a place to the devil. Which means what? You would be in a position of greater authority or power than the enemy. Because if you had to give him a place, then he would have authority over you.
Mm.
To overpower you, just to take you out. But if it says don't give place to the devil, that means you're the one with authority and ability. And he's telling you, you don't need to give him any place.
Mm.
Don't let him trick you. Don't let him deceive you. Right? Neither give place to the devil. That means the devil can't come and just take his place in your life. You or I would give him place. But we're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be ignorant of the way he comes in.
Yeah.
He acts like he doesn't even exist. Right? You know, he's like, oh, I'm not real. Don't listen to me. Well, don't listen to God, for sure. Because God, if he really loved you, why all these bad things happening? Why did the kid eat your Tootsie Rolls when you were in kindergarten? Huh? What happened? All started downhill from there. You're like, oh, yeah. And he brings up all these memories. But he's the thief. He's the one who steals, kills, and destroys. And the Bible says, don't listen to him. And one of the best ways you can protect yourself is start off with yielding to the Lord in your money, in your tithes and your offering. And not in a religious way, but in a way that you can honor him. And as you do that, you say, oh, okay, 10%?
Yeah.
You know, as a church, we give 10% to other ministries.
Yeah.
That we don't control.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that? I mean, we give to other ministries that we're not in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, some ministries give to their own ministry. We don't do that.
No.
But we give, why? Because we believe in that same concept.
Yeah.
We want the church to be blessed. And you know, this comes back, you ask yourself, Lord, do I need that? Or Lord, should I do this? Just be led. You know, we don't give because we have to, we give because we want to.
Yeah.
I might have to pay my insurance bill because I feel like I don't have a choice. I'm always looking around for a better deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with God, I don't have that, I got to, I get to, I get to.
Yes.
And I love him, and I'm so thankful he gave me the ability to think and to, you know, to be creative and expand
yes.
all the talents
yes.
and things that
yes.
you have. That's what we give.
Yes.
And at the same time, he said he would rebuke the devourer, that he would shut the devil down from ripping you off. But just to think it's only him. It's just God, why everything's not right in your life and you have no responsibility. That's not true. You know, you have a big part to play in your partnership with him. So, you know, if I think about, if I said, hey, what do you think heaven's going to be like? Man, God's got a record of everything you ever gave. Everybody, some people, half of them, more. That's sad, man. That's so sad. Why? Because you don't think you gave a lot? Or have you been tithing? And if you haven't, well, what does that mean? Change it.
Yeah.
Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to make that adjustment. Because you can struggle with it. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean he doesn't love me. But would you think it was funny if I didn't tithe? I mean, would you think, man, pastor, don't tithe. That's weird. Why would it be weird?
Because
why would it be weird?
You're supposed to.
I'm supposed to. Well, why should I do it if you're not doing it? I'm just asking the question. Why aren't you supposed to too?
Yeah.
You know, when you're a leader, well, what are you? You're a king and a priest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how he sees you.
Yeah.
You're a joint heir.
Yeah.
You're part of the kingdom.
Yes.
Why am I supposed to and you're not supposed to? Don't get me going on what I'm supposed to do and you're not supposed to do. But think about it. Challenge yourself. Change the way you think. Say, look, I want to be faithful, Lord. I want to win all these souls. I want to do all these great things for God. When I win the lottery, when I do this. It's like, no, just start right where you are.
Yes.
If you made $10, then you should give what? $1.
Yes.
Simple. With joy.
With joy.
Not with sadness, like, oh God, here's $1. Bye, George Washington. I'll never see you again. You know, people like that. We ain't gonna see no Ben Franklin's with that George Washington mentality. Right? Why? He wants to increase you. He's got it. He just needs someone to get it to and then get it through.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that a long time ago. If God can get it through you, he can get it to you.
That's good.
No, that's nice. I didn't know what it meant. But it meant being faithful with what he's already given you.
Yes.
And doing it with joy.
Amen.
And then you can pray and believe God. You know, you can get miracles. You can get answers because there's no condemnation there. The enemy can't, you've closed the door in that area.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And, you know, I mean, this is important. And it's important because people go through things. People, they won't honor the Lord, not just in the area of money, but say in other areas. Or they have unforgiveness, or they lie, and they won't repent, and then they get sick. And they let that door open to the enemy for such a long time. You understand? And he's a destroyer.
Yeah.
And so what you got to do, you got to. Man, God, forgive me. I'll make it right. I'll do what I got to do.
That's right.
And I told you this story. When my wife got really sick one night. Now think about this. This is God's mercy. But it was 14 years the Lord told me to do something. That I know it was him. I'm not proud of this. I'm not like, hey, I'm so spiritual, I could hear him for 14 years. 14, and I refused to do it. And it wasn't like it was a big amount of money or anything. It wasn't like I didn't have it. And I'm still tithing, but he told me to correct something. It took 14 years for me to do it. And the only reason I ended up really doing it is because I was praying. I said, maybe she's tormented because of me. I'm not joking. I'll take care of it today.
Yeah.
I took care of it that day. And it was something that, here's what it was. There was an organization, we did something, and I still owed them some money. And they said, you don't have to pay it, you're okay. But in my heart, the Lord said, no, you need to pay it.
Mm.
And I was like, well, they said it was okay. He said, no, I want you to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, kind of just real quick. Oh, no, okay. And every time it would come back to me, pay that. No, I don't have to. They said I was forgiven. But it's not what they said, it's what he said.
That's right.
He kept dealing with me about it. 14 years.
Wow.
I mean, so I'm thinking, I guess now this whole situation occurred, didn't have to occur. But I left the door open to the enemy. And it was over some stupid area of money. Pretty bad. My disobedience, it cost. What happened was this, is I paid it, and then it was less than $1,000. And then we got a hospital bill for $35,000 or $40,000.
Yeah.
But you know what? I owed that much money. I didn't have any fear over it. Why? Because my heart's right with God.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to work out okay. I can give you $50 a month for, you know, however long it takes.
Yeah.
And I had made two payments. They said, you pay $100 a month. I said, I'll pay $200 a month. No, they said, just $100. I said, okay. I made two payments. And I'm just still rejoicing and thanking God. But now I have confidence toward God because I resolved the area of disobedience. I closed that door.
Yeah.
And what happened was we got a letter one day said, we believe in whatever they believe in. I don't remember all that, but we believe in demonstrating God's mercy and grace, and we reviewed your account, and we call it closed. You don't owe us any money. it's paid.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, then I'm rejoicing even more. Now, I didn't stop giving after that. Oh, stop giving. Bill was paid. No. I mean, not. I didn't pay the hospital anymore, but I kept giving to church.
Yes.
God, you're so good.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So you keep that in mind. God doesn't need your money. He needs your obedience so he can close the door to the enemy.
That's good.
He wants your
That's
heart.
Good.
Right?
That's good.
And you need that confidence because you have somebody out there every day who's trying to rip you off.
That's
every
good.
Day when you wake up, he's been planning all night trying to get at you somehow. You know, things don't happen by coincidence. Right? Accidents don't happen by coincidence. The odds are too rare. Right? Things are set up. And if you will yield yourself to him, submit to him, then what will he do? He'll close. He'll open up the windows of heaven and bless you. Why? Because he can trust you with more. But also then he closes out the devil. He sets protection around you because of your obedience. That's your part. And he does what? His part. That's why he says, prove me. I got you covered. But you got to pay the premium here. Right? Mm-hmm. Insurance language. It has nothing to do with your salvation, maybe your safety. But we have so many testimonies of God increasing people because
yes.
they gave.
Yes.
And they can trust him. And you're no different. He's no respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
So next week, we've got talk a little bit on faithfulness. And I'll give you three areas to study through the week. Ready? There's three things about faithfulness that we're going to talk about. One, lying. Two, keeping a secret. You know what that means? If somebody says, don't tell anyone, that means I shouldn't hear about it ever again from someone else.
Yeah.
And three, just doing what you're told. Right? Don't be improvising and creative. If I take my car, say, hey, Tony, can you work on the brakes? And he goes, hey, guess what? I changed out the engine. I did it. I'm like, what'd you do that for? Unless he asked me or I trusted him. I said, do whatever you need to do. But sometimes God will ask you to just do one thing. You think, I got a better idea. Mm-hmm. No, just do his idea. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it next week. Why? Because as we become more faithful, we'll become more fruitful. We have more rewards. Well done, that good and faithful servant.
Amen.
All right. Let's close in prayer.